And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Juneau emergency officials are reporting 12 new COVID-19 cases between yesterday and today. There's a total of 80 active cases in Juneau, and all of the people affected are in isolation. In a news release, officials say the city's risk level and associated community restrictions that are aimed at limiting the spread of the coronavirus remain high. City officials say it's likely to stay there through the month and then be reevaluated. Two of the new cases are from non-residents who work in the mining industry. City officials also flagged the death of a Juneau man in his 80s that happened over the summer out of state. State health officials reported that death on Wednesday. Of 96 deaths statewide attributed to COVID-19, four are tied to Juneau. City officials said Governor Mike Dunleavy's emergency message sent this morning is consistent with and reinforces their guidance. State health officials reported 478 new COVID-19 cases statewide. 87-year-old Congressman Don Young has tested positive for COVID-19. Alaska's only representative in the U.S. House made the announcement in a tweet earlier today. In the post, he says he's feeling strong, working from home and following proper protocols. Young's staff did not respond to questions about when he tested positive, whether any members of his staff had been tested for COVID-19, and whether any others had been exposed. The Associated Press declared yesterday that Young had won re-election over Democratic Party-endorsed independent Elise Galvin. Young, a Republican, is the chamber's oldest member. At 87, Young is more likely to become severely ill from COVID-19. The CDC says the risk rises with age and is highest among those 85 and older. Earlier this year, Young was photographed at one of his campaign fundraisers not wearing a mask, and he says he does not require them at his political events. Governor Mike Dunleavy's office issued an emergency alert at 10 a.m. this morning, urging Alaskans to take more precautions to slow the spread of COVID-19. And while he repeated some of what he said before, this time there was more urgency. And there are at least two new actions he put into motion with his announcement. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The alert was sent to cell phones in Alaska, using the kind of message most residents are used to getting when there's a tsunami warning. The governor's office says Dunleavy wanted to reach the largest number of Alaskans in the most direct way possible, and that most Alaskans received the alert. The alert had a link to a YouTube video. In it, Dunleavy repeats several points that he made in a news conference on Friday, like asking people to change their behavior.
I'm speaking to you today because Alaska is facing an escalating crisis that I need your help to solve. Like the rest of the nation, Alaska's COVID-19 status is now in the red.
In the red means all areas of the state are at the highest alert level, and COVID-19 is rapidly spreading through Alaska communities. Dunleavy urges people to stay 6 feet apart from non-household members, and he continues to avoid issuing a statewide mask mandate, but asks that people wear masks anytime they can't stay 6 feet from others.
My job as governor is not to tell you how to live your life. My job is to ensure the security and safety of Alaska. I can't do that without your help.
Dunleavy urges businesses and municipalities to have employees work from home as much as possible through the end of November. And here comes the new stuff. Dunleavy says that all state workers are to work from home whenever feasible. And he made face masks and social distancing mandatory at state work sites for both state workers and visitors. The Alaska State Employees Association, which represents 8,000 state workers, has been calling for similar steps since the first weeks of the pandemic. Executive Director Jake Metcalf hopes the governor's message brings more uniformity to state work-from-home practices and that it leads to more workers teleworking.
It's been a policy that has been applied in some places, but not in all places.
But he's concerned that Dunleavy's reference to working from home, quote, whenever feasible, will lead to some workers continuing to unnecessarily work in state offices. Metcalf also says that mask requirements have varied between state offices and have not been enforced. He hopes that will change now.
It's a safety issue for everybody that goes into a state office building, whether you're an employee or just a resident of the state.
Metcalf says his union wants a statewide mask mandate for all public spaces, not just state offices. The ASEA also is calling for more testing for the coronavirus at state work sites, particularly those that are experiencing outbreaks. And Metcalf wants more communication between the administration and the union's members. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The Juneau School District announced the start of in-person classes for preschool students earlier this week. Kindergarten students could return to in-person classes by the end of the month. But with the state currently at a high risk level and holidays coming up, the school district is divided over whether that needs to happen. KTOO's Pablo Peña reports.
The decision to bring students back to in-person classes has been part of the district's Smart Start plan since June. Schools have already been allowing individual students and small groups into buildings with health and safety measures in place. The district made the announcement to expand in-person classes on Monday. During the city's COVID-19 community update, Superintendent Bridget Weiss said that a small group of kindergarten students could return to in-person classes as soon as November 30th.
Starting with those students who definitely are more challenged receiving their education via Zoom.
But a day after the announcement, parents, teachers, and staff voiced their concerns over the decision at this week's Board of Education meeting. Recently elected school board member Martin Stepton advocated for families who can't afford internet service and have to use satellite sites and third-party locations for classes.
Is there a way that we could prioritize those students to get them in at all, or just to help, you know, use this opportunity, if at all possible, to bring some relief to those families who Zoom is not working already in the first place, or it's really difficult for them?
Board member Dee Dee Sorensen quizzed Weiss about whether the district had met with teachers about its decision, noting that all kindergarten and first grade teachers are unanimously against expanding in-person learning.
Have you had a meeting with all the kindergarten and first grade teachers prior to this?
No, not with all of them together, but we had representatives and they went back and forth with their buildings.
The Juneau Education Association, that's the teachers union, voted unanimously against the expansion to in-person classes. Kelly Stewart, president of the association, says while it has been working with the district on the plan, teachers found out about the rollout dates last Friday.
What I'm hearing from the majority of our K-1 teachers is that they do not want to come back until after winter break, just because of all the the holidays and the traveling. They just think it would be safer and give us more time to have the safety protocols put into place.
Weiss is meeting with all kindergarten through first grade teachers on Thursday. The superintendent also says the district's plans may change. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Peña.
In Juneau's House District 34 race, incumbent Democratic Representative Andy Story has won a second term. Story had a 14% lead after the Election Day count last week over her nonpartisan challenger, economist Ed King. Her lead widened after election officials counted thousands more votes this week. Story says she's thankful and honored to represent the district again. It covers the Mendenhall Valley, Auk Bay, and out the road.
I just really appreciate the support and just determined to live up to the trust people have put in me. I know it's going to be challenging. I'm going to need everybody's best ideas and, of course, advocacy at times.
Story says it's important to protect the ferry and education systems, get the economy going, and get through the pandemic. King could not be reached for comment, but Story thanked him for running and said the competition is good for policy discussions. The unofficial results in other races in the district show hundreds of voters likely split their tickets between Democrats, Republicans, and independents. Story got more votes than any one federal candidate in her district, meaning she likely won over Republican supporters of President Donald Trump, Senator Dan Sullivan, and Congressman Don Young.
We are all so valuable, and it's so important that we work together. I work really hard to try and represent everyone.
The voters in neighboring House District 33, which covers downtown Juneau, Douglas, Excursion Inlet, Gustavus, Haines, and Skagway, were more ideologically consistent. They favored Democrats and Democrat-backed independents over Republicans up and down the ticket. That district's Representative Sarah Hannon also ran again uncontested. The State Division of Elections aims to certify Alaska's general election results by November 25th. And Karen Carey is the new permanent chancellor of the University of Alaska Southeast. Carey has been interim chancellor since July, when the former chancellor retired. University of Alaska President Pat Pitney announced yesterday that Carey will now lead UAS, which has campuses in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. Carey said today that she's still a little bit in shock.
I was working away here at home, and President Pitney sent me an email and said she wanted to speak with me and would I be willing to serve as chancellor in the permanent position, and I was very surprised, to be honest.
Carey said she and President Pitney had discussed looking for a permanent chancellor next fall. Typically, the university conducts a search to fill chancellor positions, but Carey says she believes Pitney wants to make sure the university continues to move forward.
We've gone through a lot with the budget cuts and COVID and everything that's been happening to the university over the past 5 or 6 years. And I think that she just wants to have things be stable.
UAS and the entire UA system experienced a tumultuous start to the year. Classes moved online abruptly due to COVID-19 last spring. Then UA President Jim Johnson stepped down in June, and the UA Board of Regents considered merging UAS with the University of Fairbanks. With the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The board voted not to move forward with that plan, but it raised concerns for many people about the future of UAS. Faculty Senate President for UAS David Noon says he's happy with Carey's appointment and agreed that it would bring stability to the campus.
Having a full-time rather than an interim chancellor, I think, is a important sign from the university leadership that UAS is going to remain independent, separately accredited to serve all the needs of Southeast Alaska. So I think it's a good thing.
Before becoming interim chancellor, Carey had served as UAS provost since 2016. She has a PhD in school psychology and arrived in Juneau from California State University, Channel Islands. Carey says enrollment at UAS dropped this fall, but not as much as she had expected.
Certainly COVID has thrown, you know, us all for a loop, and there's not much we can do about that until we get a vaccine. But overall, I think the morale on campus is really good, even though no one's on campus except for a few people.
She says 122 students are living on campus this semester, and about 30% of classes are happening in person across the three campuses. Those classes are observing strict social distancing and use plexiglass shields between students and instructors when possible. Masks are also required on campus. She says they may expand in-person classes in the spring, but she expects that most will continue online. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. This is KTOO News.